Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Head of Communications with Womply, Mr. Brad Plotho. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Brad, can you tell us a little bit about Womply? How are you serving folks?
So we work with small business owners in all 50 states, and we provide data and technology to help them simplify the day-to-day operations of running their business and help them attract more customers and protect their business.
And what are some examples on how you do that?
So a few examples are we help them understand who their customers are. One of the challenges that brick-and-mortar businesses face is that they are at a disadvantage of being able to understand who exactly is purchasing from them and being able to contact them again and try to get them back in the business. Also, online reviews are a bigger and bigger deal for small businesses. So we help small business owners take control of that conversation. For example, encourage some of their best customers to join the conversation in online reviews so that there aren't just these squeaky wheels, hijacking how people think about their business online.
Now, Womply recently did a national study about small business, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we want to understand the front lines of small business, the place where merchants and their customers transact, and there's a lot of things that go into that. And the survey that we conducted was a national survey. We surveyed small business owners in all 50 states, and we were interested in understanding how optimistic, how confident small business owners are, and how those sentiments might translate into actions that drive economic value, like hiring, expansion, those kinds of things.
Now, how did you define small business?
So small business owners, there's a lot of definitions, but for us, it's mom and pop shops, the folks who have less than 10 employees who are serving, primarily brick and mortar customers on Main Street.
So that could be like the hardware store or the florist or the,
exactly,
the lawyer or the doctor. Right?
Yep, exactly.
Now, did you find anything interesting?
We did. So at a high level nationally, we found that optimism is really high. About 70% of small business owners feel optimistic, confident about their business prospects this year. And that translates into a lot of intentions to hire. Also, we found that if you're an optimistic small business owner, you're 3.5 times likely to hire and give raises to your staff this year than a pessimistic one. And on the flip side, if you're pessimistic, you're 6.5 times more likely to reduce staff and reduce compensation for your employees. So you can see that there are some ripple effects that come from optimism. And in Georgia specifically, we ranked the states, and Georgia is the number 5 ranked state nationally for small business optimism. There's 9.5 optimistic small business owners for every pessimistic one there. And all told, about 77% of the business owners in the Peach State feel good about business this year.
Now, how does that rank historically? I mean, I would imagine most small business owners are optimistic just kind of by nature.
Sure. So there's a lot of folks who track small business optimism, and we're getting into this game for the first time. So we don't have historical data that we can compare apples to apples. Mm-hmm. But if you look around, we've actually scanned most of the indexes and other studies that are looking at small business optimism. Most of them show that there's been a pretty steady uptick, and that in some cases, a lot of measurements are saying that small business optimism has never been higher. So that's something that we're going to continue to watch in the future and watch against our previous year's data to see how the trends change over time.
Now, at the Womply office, were you a little surprised by the level of optimism? Because if you read the news, everybody's kind of in a doom and gloom mode.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's interesting about that specifically is that your lens on the world really dictates how optimistic you are. And one of the reasons that people are seeing doom and gloom is because of the things happening in Washington. In Georgia, for example, though, you've got 56% of the small business owner population who voted for Donald Trump. And so the things that he promised on the campaign trail resonated. That's 3 times more, they're 3 times more likely to have voted for Trump than Clinton in Georgia. And so his policies resonated, and there's a lot of interest in those policies coming to fruition. So, for example, Obamacare repeal is a big deal right now. We found that half of small business owners in Georgia said that it would be a positive thing for their business if that repeal happened. And that's twice as high as the national response to that question. So the optimism is all in your perspective. And in Georgia, the perspective is that things are going well.
Now, are you finding that there's a correlation between optimism and business owners and their political party?
Absolutely. In fact, we found that folks who voted for Trump were quite optimistic. Folks who voted for Clinton were more pessimistic. And we also found that the way that they think about policy changes dramatically. So, for example, if you voted for Donald Trump and you're a small business owner, you're 22 times more likely to say that repeal of Obamacare would have a very positive impact on your business. And again, on the flip side of that, if you voted for Hillary Clinton and you're asked the same question, you're 34 times more likely to say that Obamacare would have a very negative impact on your business. So small business owners are very pragmatic people, but they have their politics too. That definitely shapes optimism. And this is not just a sort of academic thing. It actually does have real impacts on how they approach business, how willing they are to take risks, how willing they are to do things that you know, drive hiring, that add a lot of value to the local economy, and in the aggregate change the dynamic for the national economy as well.
So when you did your study, did the top states, did they align pretty closely with Trump supporters?
For the most part, although the other thing that we saw was that states that have a really strong economic currency right now are more optimistic, obviously, as well. So one of the trends that we saw, and this was true in Georgia too, is that there's a locus of control dynamic going on. So we asked the reasons for optimism and the reasons for pessimism. And so when we asked the five top reasons for optimism among Georgia small businesses, it's really things that they feel like they can control. So quality and quantity of their customers and the quality of the employees is number one and number two. And then if you ask the reasons for pessimism, the election of a new U.S. president is number one for those who are pessimistic. That's their top reason for pessimism. And so for folks who see, okay, I've got control over my business, the economy is doing really well, they're more likely to say that things are good, that they're confident about where things are heading. So this idea of, can I control what's going on with my business, is big. And then just generally, is the local economy, you know, humming along? So some of the best performing economic states were those that we saw rank high in optimism as well.
And then is there any sense that this optimism is actually connected with improved results?
Yeah, in fact, one of the things that we saw in Georgia that was pretty encouraging is that the state ranked number 11 nationally for hiring intent for small businesses. So 30% of the small business owners in Georgia said they plan on adding staff this year. So if you've got a million small businesses in the state, that means that you could add a lot of small business jobs to the state as well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've got some attrition that you factor in there too. But the optimism, we saw strong correlations between the more optimistic the state is, the more likely small business owners were to hire, to think about, like, you know, getting new financing for their business, expanding the business, adding new locations. All those kinds of things have a strong impact on the economic vibrancy of the state. So definitely a correlation between where their attitude is, where their mindset is, and what they intend to do that will help the economy.
Now, switching gears a little to Wamply, you mentioned that your kind of sweet spot's less than 10 employees. Are there a lot of businesses that are less than 10 employees in the nation?
Millions, yeah. Yeah, there are 28 million small businesses nationwide, small and medium-sized businesses. There's a large definition for that. But, you know, there are 6 or 7 million that have less than 10 employees. So there's a ton of folks who are opening mom and pop shops, who run a small bakery, who are independent consultants, you know, who have a storefront where they're selling flowers. And, you know, that's really where we shine, is being able to help those small business owners use technology. They've really been underserved with technology, and we're trying to help them use it in a way that actually saves them time, as opposed to adds a lot of complexity to their business. We're trying to reduce that complexity, but it's a large market. There's a lot of folks who fall into that category.
Now, when you're creating kind of services to serve that market, what are some of the challenges?
The biggest challenge with serving that market is that there's no existing paradigm for technology, really, for small business owners, except for things like point of sale systems. You know, people get that they have to take credit card payments and things like back office services. They understand, you know, they need to have an accounting system. They need to have something to help with their taxes. But the front office, where the merchant interacts with the customer, is really kind of open territory. And that's because small business owners don't typically think about using technology to better serve their customers. So, you know, we try to build solutions that make that very simple and intuitive so that they're not expected to be very tech savvy or really kind of geek out on technology to use these things. But, you know, the adoption is based on people understanding that technology can actually make them more competitive, make their life easier, as opposed to adding complexity.
Now, when you're working with customers of that size, I would imagine that most of their focus is in providing the actual service that they do, as opposed to marketing the service they do, or, you know, dealing with any of the repercussions of the service that they do. How is your platform something that is kind of they're getting a helper along with it, or it's more of a platform for them to do it themselves?
It's a really good question. We try to make it as self-serve as possible and make the common denominator. If you knew nothing about technology, could you easily use this? And so the intent is to say, you know, this technology is easy to understand and navigate on your own without any real technical expertise. You know, somebody who's, you know, grown up without technology and has been running a shop and just, you know, relying on their own relationships is somebody who could actually use the technology. One of the things that you mentioned at the top, too, is that most small business owners want to spend most of their time with their customers. And we recognize that. We also have some interesting data that's not ours, but that we've seen that some small business owners spend 20 hours a week just trying to market their services. Attracting and retaining customers were some of the biggest worries that we uncovered in our survey. So that's one of the things that we're trying to help them understand is that, you know, your experience that you deliver to the customer in the store matters. And you need to put all of your time and focus that you can into those interactions, because that's what differentiates you from big box companies. If you can automate some of the other things, like how do you get back in touch with them? How do you make sure that you encourage a happy customer to post a positive review about you online? Things like that, then you have more time to spend directly with your customers.
Now, let's dig in a little bit on that element of it. So, like, say I have a salon, and, you know, obviously people go online and they want to make sure that I am what I'm promising and get some feedback from other customers, or maybe a restaurant's more appropriate. Like you mentioned, there is sometimes the outlier might be in a bad mood and they give me a bad review on one of these kind of third party review sites. And that's the one that seems to hang out at the top of the list every time that you log on. And that might be impacting business down the road. So part of your service is to help me kind of manage that?
Yeah, we have a product, in fact, called Get Reviews, which allows you to proactively get reviews from your customers where you ask them, how is your experience? And they rate it 1 to 5 stars. And if they didn't have a great experience, you have a chance to talk with them before they go and publish something negatively about you online and potentially resolve their concern. You may not know, right? You may have just had you know, a bad day or something that they expected that they didn't get. And so in those cases, it's nice to have an opportunity to talk with them before they blitz you online. But the other side of that equation is that if patrons who have a bad experience are much more likely to post a negative review about you than your good customers posting a positive one, which is true, then how do you activate your best customers, the ones that are happy, the ones who may be repeat visitors, to go and share their experience as well? And that's one of the things that we try to arm our customers with, is the ability to easily, simply do that. So for example, with Get Reviews, if someone rates their experience a 4 or 5 star review, first of all, you can understand why they're doing that. You can engage with them and say, look, what was it that was so great about your experience? So we can double down on that and repeat that, make sure that it's emphasized. But it also automatically prompts them to publish a review on Yelp, on Google, on Facebook, on TripAdvisor, so that they have a very simple way to say, okay, I should take this to the next level and talk to people online about why this was a good experience for me.
Oh, so you make it easy for them to do that next step,
right,
and make it more public?
Right, exactly. It needs to be easy and automated, otherwise people don't do it.
Now, how did Womply evolve? What was the first product in your portfolio?
Sure. So the company started actually with just sort of helping small business owners understand trends in their revenue, sort of an analytics platform. Mm-hmm. And that's based on the fact that, you know, we can help them in a very turnkey way, turn their transaction revenue into a dashboard where they can see what do the trends look like. So if I'm an auto shop, for example, it's nice for me to be able to look at patterns in my revenue and say, okay, key technician was out, that's why revenue went down, or jobs were winding down, or maybe there's some seasonalities like an event or a really bad weather pattern that kept people from coming into your store. And if you can see those patterns, you can understand how to tailor your promotions to make sure that you're augmenting for those lower times or really doubling down on the things that drive revenue for you. So that was the initial sort of beachhead for the company. It was all about understanding ways to dissect your revenue, cut it up, see how you perform relative to other local businesses in your area that are in your same industry. We have a leaderboard that'll show you, are you first, second, third, or whatever in terms of just revenue locally. So it'll stage at the business. And then from there, we added services that help to protect the small business owner's business and also simplify the day-to-day operation.
And then is this a software as a service service for the businesses?
It is, and it's really simple. So there's no like setup or installation. So we provide a magic code, we call it, that's customized for your business. One of our specialists will talk you through how to use it, and they enter their magic code and then off you go. So everything's already loaded in the machine. All of your transaction data can be accessible from day one once you have your custom company information loaded into the system.
And then you mentioned that you work with all types of businesses that are kind of the brick and mortar. So this can be restaurants, it could be car repair, spas, salons, it could be the handyman, right? It could be any type of kind of mom and pop under 10 employee business.
Yeah, we have 400 plus industry verticals represented by our customer profile. So absolutely any business. We've tried to be industry agnostic. It's really about the size of the business, the scope of the business. Anyone who needs to transact with customers directly and manage their online reputation and simplify their day-to-day operations on the front office side of running a business would be a candidate for Wamply services.
Now, you being kind of a national platform, how do you serve each people in all these individual localities?
Sure. So our business is inherently local, and the way that we do that is that all of the data is specific to the business. So we've been able to partner with credit card processors to help sort of flow that data into our system so that you can understand in a very simple way what your local market looks like. So in the aggregate, if we've got a whole bunch of credit card transaction data flowing through the system that's anonymized, and you log in as a Wamply customer, you can see by zip code, are there spending patterns, in this zip code where there's an influx of spending there? Are some of your best customers spending, in certain parts of town? How do you rank against other customer competitors of yours in the local market? And also, just what's the general trend, the market trend? Are sales going up? Are they going down? And so in that way, we can actually hyper-localize the business to the zip code level for the small business owner without having to be there on premise with them.
Now, do you do anything to foster a sense of community amongst the Wamply kind of members in order for them to learn from each other or interact with each other?
That's a work in progress. That's something we've actually talked a lot about. So there are phases, as you can imagine, to any sort of technology startup growing its business. And one of the things that we're trying to do now is actually understand more about who our customers are. That's one of the intents of this survey, is to better understand what exactly they're dealing with, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities. And from that, we can grow promotions and, events and other kinds of ways to engage directly with merchants around the country.
Now, so you intend on doing this survey every year now?
We'll do this and other kinds of surveys. So we want to put out a pretty aggressive cadence of, proprietary research designed to better understand kind of what it's like on Main Street for merchants.
And because that's who you serve, Main Street.
Yep.
And what's your role in the company?
So I'm the head of communications. So basically any kind of external communication falls under me. It's building the Wamply brand, talking about, the things that we're learning, telling customer stories, all the above.
Now, if a customer wanted to learn about you guys, what's the way you go to market typically? Is it just word of mouth through existing customers at this point?
Sure. So a lot of people find out about us through their credit card processor. We have good relationships with the credit card processing industry, and a lot of times that's where they'll first find out about us. But anyone can request information about us or request a demo. Our website's wamply.com. Really simple. W-O-M-P-L-Y.
W-O-M-P-L-Y.com. And then is the survey results there as well?
They are. So they're on our blog. So just womply.com/blog. And you'll find not only our sort of top line survey results for the national sort of dynamic for small business optimism, but we're publishing profiles for each state as well. So you'll find a whole bunch of state profiles there.
And you mentioned earlier that you have a lot of Georgia businesses, probably Atlanta businesses, that are Womply users. Is that right?
We do. We've got thousands of businesses in Georgia that are Womply customers.
Maybe we can get Stone. Maybe we get invite some of them in the studio.
I think that'd be a marvelous idea. Maybe have like a dedicated Womply episode or something. I think it'd be a cool little roundtable thing. What do you think?
That'd be great.
I like the idea. Well, thank you for supporting Georgia. Thank you for supporting small business. That's real important to us here at the Business Radio X Network. We knew that we were reaching out to a kindred spirit when we asked you to join us on the program. Brad, this has been very informative and inspiring. We sincerely appreciate it. And that offer is quite sincerely. Let's do talk offline about maybe supporting and celebrating some of these small businesses in your network. And again, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks, you guys.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.